and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The celebrity hotline jam-packed today. Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of the great state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you see him on the Ed Show?
Yes.
Holy crap, is he pissed.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
I like me some Democrats that are pissed about health care.
That's right.
All right, fight. He shoves Boner into the lockers later today.
I hope so, too.
All right, he will be coming right up in a few minutes. Jennifer Palmieri, Senior VP for Communications at the Center for American Progress, or as I call it, Media Matters for America. I get those two confused.
Yeah, Carl Frisch really appreciated that yesterday.
She will be on the Celebrity Hotline hour number three today.
Yes.
This hour of the show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details. All right. Jennifer will be on to talk about, of course, health care, the economy, and that it's beer day, everybody.
Oh, what's the malt liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Put my belly out to here.
Beer!
I could not refuse it.
Beer!
I could really use a beer.
Beer! Beer!
Have a beer in honor of Racial Unity Day today, won't you, everybody? Or just because you're a drunk like me?
I am not a drunk!
All right.
Although the police sergeant is the only one having an American beer.
Really,
huh.
Now?
Yeah,
yes. The professor is having this
Red
like a
Stripe.
Sitcom, Red Stripe, and the president, Bud Light.
Bud Light, which is owned by that Dutch InBev now.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, so technically it's American beer, though.
Well,
it's not
yeah,
made in Holland.
I know.
It
but
would be
it's,
much
but
better if it were made in Holland.
I would have, if I were invited, which I'm not, I would have a Jenny Cream Ale, as you know, which is from my hometown, yeah. Lackport, up the transit from Cheektowaga and Lackawanna.
I saw a picture of a can that Jenny Cream Ale comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like absolute swill.
It's not
it
swill.
Is.
It's cream ale, Stephanie.
So?
Probably have a Bitburg up here. That's even though it comes from a Nazi town with an SS graveyard that Reagan visited. But, still.
You're going to make an exception on the whole, Nazi thing.
Okay.
Beer.
Yeah.
It was
okay.
A long time ago.
Oh, the president having to explain yet again about health care.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care. I'm tired of hearing that.
So
yeah.
Are we.
Yeah. The president getting all charged up, a little fired up, a little ready to go yesterday on healthcare. Yeah, we'll get to all these polls that are showing that, what are you going to do when the insurance industry can spend X number of dollars, which proves our point exactly, on taking pot shots at the president's plan? These polls, though, we'll get to them. But they're hilarious. In theory, everybody is for Obama's plan. You know what I mean? But then the actual one, no, we're not for, no,
and
we don't.
Says no.
Because I think the Republicans and the insurance company ads and all that is having an effect. But I won't be dissuaded on health care this morning.
A lot of people are, though.
Representative Mike Ross, Democrat of Arkansas, who's a blue dog.
We got significant concessions in 2 weeks of very long talks that lasted day and night. We believe every member of Congress should have the opportunity to not only read the bill, but to spend the month of August visiting with their constituents about it.
Mm. Yes,
who
they
let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof.
Indeed. Who let the blue dogs out?
Mm. Someone needs to roll up a newspaper and hit their nose.
One of them was, one of them was trumpeting, what a victory this is. It's like, oh,
right.
Really? Well, I hope you'll send a condolence card to all the people that will die in August because they don't have health care, which they've done hard numbers on. The number of people that will lose their health care while they're on vacation, the number of people that will die.
And a big fruit basket to the insurance companies for the checks they've been writing you.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about what all these... it's hard to keep track which committee is which and which bill's coming out of which. And there are still time to make changes. So,
And the Senate bill is very different from the House bill.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. All right, and it's always important to know, what does the boner think?
This is a giant government bureaucracy that's going to drive up the cost of health care, drive up the cost of, of health insurance, deny millions of Americans their choice of doctor, and eventually lead to rationing of health care in America. This is not the kind of plan that Americans want.
Lie.
On the top of our list.
You lying at the top of your list, apparently.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Now they're going to kill all the old people and force gay abortions on everyone.
That's what Blumenauer is pissed about.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, because it's his provision that he put it, and they're just out and out lying about it.
Yes. You know, that...
We'll talk to him
in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. The boner wants us to scrap the whole bill and start over because... All right, which actually we do, too. I'm with him on that. I want single payer. Let's drop the whole...
The more I'm hearing about single payer, the more it makes such total sense.
Well, I know.
It's working for almost every other industrialized country in the world. Mm. I mean, some places have hybrid systems, like Germany. They have the national plan that everyone pays into, and then you can have private insurance on top of that.
And President Obama said if we could start all over from scratch... A single payer would be the way to go.
Yep.
However, we can't.
Yeah. Works for Medicare, works for the VA.
I think if Jim Ward could share a Bitburg with the boner, we might. If there were a beer summit of some sort between those two and the president today, that would accomplish a lot more for America than this sitcom.
Also,
the professor and the cop. And the.
There's some news about the boner, too, and about his tanning booth.
Breaking news about the boner?
Well, really? And about his tanning booth. Did you hear that tanning booths are now more dangerous than arsenic?
Boner.
Yeah, he needs to...
He might as well just switch to it like a bourbon and arsenic instead of spending as much time in the tanning bed.
With all the cigarettes in the tanning bed, he might need some health care. Got
some! Oh, that's right! He's got government-sponsored health care.
He has that public plan. Oh, that'd be nice.
It's socialist! I don't want it! It's coming between me and my doctor! It's on top of our list! I gotta... Oh, no. Wait, it's working quite well for you.
StephanieMiller.com, by the way, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Check out the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. Mama will be in Seattle just in time for the heat wave. Oh, heavens.
Hot.
Yikes, is it hot in Seattle.
Hot.
Is it really?
The big town hall is coming up next Saturday with me and Tom Hartman and Bill Preston, Mike Malloy and Ron Reagan.
Global warming is a myth. That just doesn't happen.
They broke a record in Seattle where it is 102 yesterday.
Wow, 102?
Yikes. They're not set up for that kind of heat.
No.
I remember a couple years ago at the town hall, those of you in Seattle listening will remember there was no air conditioning in the in the hall there where we had
They need air conditioning in Seattle?
Oops, they do now. Air conditioning isn't as ubiquitous in Seattle as it is, say, here.
We were all like Robert Hayes in Airplane that year. I remember that.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Portland, in its third day of triple-digit heat, 104 in Portland.
Wow,
that is hot.
Hot.
Yeah, okay. I was reading in Phoenix that it got down to about 92 degrees a couple of nights ago.
I may have to go to Phoenix to cool off after Seattle.
Oh,
yeah, but
God.
The buildings are still radiating heat.
Everything radiates heat there.
Yeah. All right. Jim, I have a guest quote. The hint is one of our personal favorites. Guests said this because it's just the people that we're debating with on the other side. You remember I debated with what's his name, Mike Pence, the right wing tool on the Fairness Doctrine. He's the one trying to kill my career. You know what I'm saying?
Oh
okay.
Take kibble out of your dog's mouth.
Exactly. In an op-ed at the Conservative Clearinghouse for all things bug insane, townhall.com. Indiana Republican Congressman Mike Pence calls for Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. This reminds me of the ridiculous abortion debate over Blumenauer. Okay. Living in Indiana is not unlike living inside the single toilet in a house of giants with irritable bowel syndrome. And Pence's district is in one particularly awful part below the rim.
Oh.
Who said that?
Martha Stewart.
The rude pundits. That was very rude. And our guests here every Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. And we apologize to the people in Indiana listening. We don't necessarily agree. We're just quoting rude pundit. Who said, by Pence's logic, if by logic you mean a strange amalgam of religious paranoia and dubious fiscal reasoning by a man who shoves corn cobs up his own because he's the one Republican desperately trying to avoid another man or woman. Sorry, I had to get through that. His amendment to an appropriations bill would close the loophole that has forced millions of pro-life Americans to subsidize the nation's leading abortion provider, sustaining and underwriting the destruction of innocent human life that has been carried out on a massive scale by Planned Parenthood. Who said that?
Martha Washington.
No! The rude pundit writing about Mike Pence. Who said, you got that right? We wouldn't want to offend the pro-life Americans by providing money to an organization that does more to actually prevent abortions than every bolt abstinence program everywhere. Who said that?
Martha's Vineyard.
No. The rude pundit.
Good, because we're running out of Martha's.
He's rude.
He is rude and hilarious.
Yes.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Oh, you know what I forgot? I got it. You know where I need to go?
Where?
After Seattle is Maine. This is my kind of event. The annual codfish races in coastal Maine were disrupted when police say alcohol-fueled fighting led to a brawl involving up to 60 people.
At the cod races?
Yes.
Wow.
I like a good drunken fight that starts to involved 60 people.
Wait a minute.
The races are part of the Millbridge Days town birthday party. Teams dressed in firefighters' gear run across a baseball field, clenching a greased dead 20-pound cod and get sprayed with hoses.
Wow.
What's not a party about that?
I don't think there's enough alcohol in the world to make that fun.
You know, I would like to propose to our Seattle station that we do that instead of the town hall, that we go down to the Seattle, where do they call it, the fish market down there and do that.
And just race with the fish that they throw?
Yeah, just me and Tom Hartman just flailing at each other with a dead cod. Yeah. Don't you think? All right, let's...
Oh, boy, that's got to be smelling 102 degrees.
Oh, God!
Wow!
Someone in Seattle, give us a call from the public market. Whoa. Let us know if it smells right now.
Yeesh!
Does it smell where you are?
Yikes. All right, the headline is Coca-Cola is trialing a fizzy milk drink.
Glah!
Yeah. I don't think fizzy belongs in my milk.
Fizzy connotes something has started to turn.
Yeah. I'm sitting out in 102 weather.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Coca-Cola has introduced a fizzy milk drink. The carbonated drink is a blend of skim milk and sparkling water. It gets its flavor from fruit and cane sugar. The drink available in citrus burst, peach mango, and tropical colada.
Citrus, fizzy, milk?
And very berry flavors is being test marketed.
And there's a little cod in there, too.
All right, who do we have?
Sid Flegelman.
Yeah.
Hi, Gewalt. I know Jews got to sharpen his foil, but is there ever an end to the humiliation? First with the restricted clubs, then with the quotas in the colleges, and now with the food rape? The Schmendricks of Coca-Cola putting something on the market so daring, so out of the box, they give it a fancy schmancy name. Vio, who knows? Milk, soda water, flavoring, sugar. What, this is new? This is an egg cream, you goyish schmageggies. Old man Katz is spinning in his grave to think of pina colada egg creams, mango egg creams, very berry egg creams. What's next already? Cappuccino egg creams with a double shot of soy? Oi! Maybe a chain of fast food joints called McShaggots, where you can get pastrami on white with mayo, wash it down with a schmanta, maybe a mountain treif. Oi! Filet-o gefilte? Is Bobby Flay going to offer blue corn latkes? Is Emily going to save up black and blacks and bagels? It's a shanda! Serving Happy Meals out of Jewish food, that's like serving a Southerner chicken steamed steak. No, this is where we draw the line. I hate to quote that Meshuggah George Wallace, but here it is. Schmaltzegration now, schmaltzegration in the future, schmaltzegration forever. Sei gesund. So don't drink that stuff if you want to stay gesund.
Hi, that's all for stand-up news part one. Stand-up news part two, when we return, and it involves a guy in sex with a horse. So I would miss it again.
Do we get to hear from the horse?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm staying tuned.
We're the only one with that audio this morning. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. And finally, in stand-up news, the headline is North Carolina man jailed again for having sex with a horse. I'm not making this up.
A horse is a horse, of course. What?
I'm not making this up. Horry County Police.
Horry?
Hey!
It's Horry County. It's even horrier now.
Oh, really?
Okay. Arrested a Longs man early Tuesday morning on charges he had sex with a horse. This is the second time he's been arrested for this.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He's charged with trespassing and buggery.
And buggery? Is that an offense in North Carolina?
It's an offense against morality.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The story begins at Lazy Bee Stables, which were not that lazy on some nights. A quiet horse farm that Barbara Kenley calls her retreat. Her tranquil respite fell apart near the end of 2007 when she discovered a man had been having sex with her horse. She first stumbled upon him in a horse stall on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, dear.
Oh.
She described seeing her horse, Sugar, standing and Daddy just wanted a little sugar.
That's it.
Seeing her horse, Sugar, standing in a stall with Rodell sleeping above on some hay, he admitted to police that he was there to have sex with the horse. Oops! Maybe should have mentioned that. And had been there several times in previous months. We have the horse.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. Well, I do declare, I thought I was imagining the whole thing. There I was, minding my own business, sleeping while standing up, as we want to do, when I had the strangest dream about a tiny caterpillar falling into a coal mine. The little fella kept falling in and crawling back out again.
Oh.
This went on for several nights, and it wasn't too long before I started to feel a burning sensation in a certain area it would be indelicate to mention. The doctors were able to fix me up right quick, but a few nights later, the dream started up again, and wouldn't you know it, the female troubles made a return visit. It got so I didn't want to fall asleep at all anymore, and the very next night, I felt some fumbling and fretting going on in the vicinity of my hindquarters, and land sakes alive, it wasn't some strange little fella with his pants around his ankles, and well, I don't think I need to draw you a picture as to what he was up to.
No.
And what he was up to was not very much. I couldn't help but laugh at his little predicament. I mean, hadn't Mr. Tiny ever seen a stallion out of mare before? Did he have any idea what the competition was packing? I couldn't help myself. I turned around and asked rather indelicately, "Is it in yet?"
Oh,
poor dear ran away screaming. I'm still chuckling about it to this day. It's fitting, I suppose, the little fellow's going to jail for burglary since he'll be getting a taste of his own medicine in the big house. I only hope they can really rehabilitate him. Perhaps he can find work as a short order cook.
Oh.
Y'all don't come back now, you hear?
That's all for...
And now Earl Blumenauer.
Yeah, Earl Blumenauer gets to follow that. Great.
A guy giving a horse
chlamydia.
That's and now an important congressman. Okay.
You only find that on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
I forgot to mention that after the initial counter, the woman said her horse got infections.
Yes.
Infections?
Yeah. Yes.
Chlamydia?
Can a horse get chlamydia?
That needed the horse. It gave the guy the... Gave the horse the clap, or I don't know.
Whatever.
The ick.
Okay. Case of the icks.
Yeah.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall, and yes, he is available for a children's birthday party.
Mm-hmm. Make obscene balloon animals.
Exactly. He'll make a balloon animal of that very incident, if you'd like. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
It's called Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a title at StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Buy the album.
Uh-huh. Boy, howdy. All right. Cindy in Seattle on healthcare real quick. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, this is Cindy in Seattle.
Yes.
Hello, Stephanie and Mooks.
Yes.
If you'll recall, the other day I called and said I was going to go see my senators with no caffeine and no food.
Oh, yes.
Well, that was enlivened by also having to walk uphill in the hotter-than-hell Seattle heat.
Oh, wow. Boy. So you were extra cranky.
And then had to show a photo ID to get into the building. It was very interesting. Everybody was very nice. But I think everybody needs to know that Senator Murray's aide said to me that they've had like 90% of the calls over the last couple of weeks have been anti-public options.
Oy vey. All right. Representative Blumenauer next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, I'm
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm over 200 years old, but I'm feeling fine.
I hate you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You sound good for 200.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, a lot of people we talk to on the phones, mad as hell about healthcare, not going to take it anymore. If only we had more legislators that were on TV being mad as hell. Like, no, yesterday for... What? Why? Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of Oregon, it's Representative Earl Blumenauer.
One of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're still loaded for bear this morning, like you were on the Ed Show yesterday.
Oh, man. These people. It's just,
It's surreal.
It really is. I mean, that's the thing. You know, thank you for calling it like it is. I mean, you know, Ed said, you know, are the Republicans lying? Like, yes.
Well,
you know,
it's fascinating. I have worked for a year on something that actually had bipartisan support to help seniors and others that are end of life, to help them get the information they need. It had broad bipartisan support, supported by AARP, Catholic health systems, you name it.
Right.
And these people are pretending like we're going to euthanize senior citizens to save money. It is off the wall.
I mean, that's the thing, is I've heard Rush Limbaugh talking about it, and then your colleague Virginia Fox goes to the floor and says the president's plan is to put seniors to death. I mean, it really is like...
You can't make it up, as they say.
I know. Well, Congressman, explain what your provision is and then what the Republicans are saying.
Well, what we did was to meet the challenge that a lot of people, when they get in this situation, they don't know what to expect, or they've never talked to anybody before. And we had some really heart-rendering stories where things happen to loved ones in terms of being on ventilators and machines, and stuff happened to them that actually they think was against their wishes, but nobody had ever spelled it out. Nobody told them what their choices were. This would, for the first time, allow people who are Medicare covered to have a doctor sit down and answer their questions and give them information. It's perfectly straightforward. It's all voluntary. Nobody has to do it. They pick their medical professional and give them a sense of what they're facing and what their choices are. The Republicans have distorted it, suggesting that it's mandatory, suggesting that they're going to force senior citizens to plan their death. And as you mentioned, Virginia Fox claiming that the government is going to be putting seniors to death. I mean, this is it's unfortunate and it's destructive, but it illustrates a larger point. Some people are going to do anything they can to try and prevent changes to the healthcare system.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, that's the problem. I've heard Rush Limbaugh describe it as, well, you know, they may need life-saving care, and they'll just be told to take a pain pill and just slip away. It's like, what?
If there's somebody who knows about pain pills and slipping off, Rush is your expert, I suppose.
Someone who thinks it's appropriate to take 2,000 OxyContin a month, I guess.
He's a big boy. But it is unfortunate because we're going into a situation where we have to make some changes in the way that we're operating, because right now it's not meeting the needs of the American public. It's twice as expensive as the average industrialized nation. We have the best health care in the world for some people, 50 million uninsured or at risk. These are things that we've got to address, and we can. But to have people who are so vested in the status quo, so against having a public option for insurance that would actually give competition in so many areas where, as you know, there is no effective competition, it's been one of the most disappointing experiences I've ever had, and I put up with 12 years of Tom DeLay.
Congressman, you know, we hear so many things, obviously, coming out of all these committees. And what can you, for us lay people, break it down? I mean, is this good news that, you know, because you hear, oh, the Democrats broke a logjam. You know, they made a deal with the Blue Dogs yesterday.
Well,
you know, what is that, good news or bad news?
Actually, I think it is a sign of progress. What it means is that we will have all three of the major committees in the House that will have produced a piece of legislation moving forward. These have to be put together. And the compromise pieces that the Blue Dogs were interested in, frankly, the Blue Dogs themselves haven't committed to supporting final passage of a bill that has the things they want in it. So this was simply a negotiating piece. Rahm Emanuel was in the middle of this till the end of till late at night. It broke the logjam. The legislation's moving forward, but ultimately it is going to be written by the leadership of the three committees. I've had very specific conversations with Henry Waxman, with George Miller, with Mike, committee chairman Charlie Rangel, making sure that this was a concession to get the bill moving out of one committee. It's not something that is necessarily going to be in the final bill, and in fact I think it's very unlikely that what they've talked about will be in the final bill, because a lot of it doesn't pencil and a lot of it is opposed by the majority of us in the Democratic caucus.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're hoping, because can you explain to us the difference between, I mean, why this co-op idea is not the same thing as a public option?
Well, we've had the opportunities for co-ops for years. And in fact, there are some successful ones around the country. There's one headquartered in the Pacific Northwest out of Seattle. But they don't have the scope and the reach. If they worked, we would have had them playing a larger role for years. It's very situational. What we need is to have a broad-based public option that is available to people around the country, because half of the states have one single insurance company that has half the business or more. For over 85% of the population, there is no effective competition, and basically two companies control the market. So expecting a little co-op to be able to somehow get a foothold and make a difference is unrealistic, because if it worked, they would have done it before.
Congressman, what is your reaction to this latest polling? It's obviously been all over the news, the NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll, of course, showing, you know, the president losing ground on the health care. On the healthcare issue, but you know, I'm sure you saw the same silver lining I did, which is it must be maddening, you know, when you think, okay, to some degree, these insurance company ads and the Republicans are having an effect with all their lies. However, when read the specifics of the president's goals for healthcare, like, you know, covering people with pre-existing conditions, you know, blah, 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 they support it.
Right. And that is what our challenge will be this next month, is to be able to let people know exactly what is in the legislation and to be able to deal with the overall goals. Do we want a competitive market? Do we want everybody to have access to health insurance that they can afford? Are we going to get rid of pre-existing conditions? These are as a barrier to health care. And the more people understand one fundamental fact, and that is we can't continue where we are right now. We're watching premiums go up, health care costs go up, we're watching employer after employer cutting back, in some cases eliminating employer-sponsored health care, and if we don't do something, 2 or 3 years from now, there will be millions more uninsured, and there'll be more of a burden. This is the time to act, and the more people understand the facts, I think the better off we'll all be.
That, you know, that's what we have to do, Congressman. We have a month, I guess, to combat this just wall of right-wing lies, because, you know, it really is maddening to read this poll and say now a majority thinks the president's health care plan is a bad idea when told the specifics, which is his plan, they're for it. It's like, so all we can all do is get out there and combat these lies, right, and call our congresspeople.
Absolutely, and I think the more that we, and I also don't want us to get entirely hung up on what's going to happen in the month of August, which, shall we say, is not the best month to communicate with lots of people who are on vacation and distracted, but being able to start turning the tide. This is legislation under the best of circumstances that isn't going to go into effect for 3 years. So we're going to work like the devil to make sure that this year we get comprehensive reform enacted, and we'll be working with people to refine it and to raise the comfort level, and frankly, to use these outrageous lies and distortions against them. And I think in some ways this may be our best hope.
Well, we just had a caller, I believe, from Seattle, who said that, you know, when she called her representative's office, they said the majority of calls they're getting is against the public plan. So, you know, either the crazy right are activating their base better, or, like you say, too many people have bought these lies that the president keeps trying to combat about what a public plan is. That, no, it's not socialism. No, it's not a government takeover. Yes, you can still choose your doctor in your plan, you know?
Absolutely. But there is one other item here that needs to be. There are some people who actually want to go even further, who think that this isn't enough reform. They have very strong feelings about more subsidization, that some people still want just a single payer. So there are some of the people who are opposed actually want it stronger, not weaker.
Right.
So I don't want us to get confused on that, because that polling is just a snapshot in time that can be confusing.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you taking time out to talk with us and keep us updated. All right.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Congressman. There he goes, Congressman Earl Blumenauer of the great state of. And thank God we've moved past the. We had a beer summit, and he doesn't bring up the bike anymore.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you stole his bike.
Not his, technically. It was a green thing he was trying to do with the Democratic Convention in Denver, and I technically got drunk and didn't return it. Anyway.
You stole his bike.
I didn't. It was past the time when you could return the free bike offered by the lovely environmentally conscious lawmaker.
Did they take a deposit from you? Like, maybe, run your credit card or something? You don't know, do you? You have no idea. You were too drunk to remember. Oh, my God.
45 minutes. 45 minutes after
Maybe
the hour.
Your team of accountants can
I'll get on that. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Richard in Oakland on the Sex with a Horse story. Some people are getting tired of healthcare.
That's
hi,
right.
Richard.
Well, hi, Steph. I just checked in my copy of the veterinarian's desktop reference next to my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of the clap, I think the guy first gave the horse a case of the clip and then a case of the clop.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little sex with a horse joke. I don't believe he has a veterinary medicine thing next to his bed. Okay.
And it would be kind of weird.
Kind of disturbing if he did.
Scott in Cape Cod on the beer summit today. Hello, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Miss Miller.
Hello, it's crazy religious right-wing Scott from Massachusetts.
Like
hi, Scott.
Say, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to say that President Obama and Professor Gates and Cambridge, Massachusetts police officer James Crowley, so you all know we're going to have a beer. I think it's ironic that Gates was arrested by James Crowley, because if you abbreviate it, it's James, Jim for James, and Crow, and Jim Crow, the old Jim Crow laws that segregated blacks during the Deep South. But I'd like to say that racial relations will never change in America, Ms. Miller, and I'll tell you why.
Because of people like you.
Because Obama, President Obama is a racist. He proved it during the election. He said, typical white person. And
He's a typical white person?
Typical white person.
Oh.
And the Cambridge
Racist against black people? You mean the half of him that's white is racist against the other half of
that's
him?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And he said the Cambridge police acted stupidly.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Oprah Winfrey and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, Tiger Woods, these are all uppity blacks who want to put white people in their place.
Mm.
Whites have been victimized by affirmative action in the United States.
Mm.
And the truth of the matter is that blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Jews, et cetera, have moved up the ladder, while white Christians have been
downtrodden.
Become downtrodden.
Yes. All right. Oops. Oh, gosh. What happened there? Chris, I told you to fix that phone line.
That phone line is racist.
Dag nabbit. Sorry, Miss Miller.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's, John in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Good morning, and I don't know how I can follow that.
Yeah, you can't really.
That was
pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give you another example of the wonderful logic that's used by the right regarding health care. About a month and a half ago in my local paper, which I will say is slightly right-leaning, there's a doctor who does a weekly op-ed, and his logic for not wanting to improve the health care system was that if we actually improve health care, people will be healthier, and then they'll live longer, and if they live longer, it's going to be more expensive in the long run to care for them.
Oh, yes. And so that's why it sums up the Republican health care plan,
exactly.
Is if you could have the decency to die, then.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
Yes.
I actually suggested we might go back to the Eskimo life. You know, when you get old, just put them out on the ice, and that way it'll save us all a lot of money.
Except there aren't any more ice flows, thanks to global warming.
Yes, because so much for that. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, that is basically their plan. Please have their plan is like Drano. It's just, it's like they want to snake the healthcare drain and just, you know, cleanse the system of too many unnecessary alive people. Okay. By the way, does anyone, the Drano doesn't work, does it? I tried it yesterday on my shower drain, and no.
Computer says no.
I don't think you're supposed to use Drano in your shower.
Really?
Because it could splash up and burn
you. No, you can.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It didn't work.
All right.
Did you use, like, the extra strength stuff or
yes.
just the crystals?
Yes. No, the max gel thing. But, you know, I'm hairy. So,
yes, you are.
I don't. All right. Anyway.
You're an Armenian dude.
Yes, anyway, that was the analogy I was making. Republicans just want to just clear the pipe of all y'alls that are, what's the word, alive. Alive. Too alive. You're too alive, too healthy. Get out. Get out.
If Drano doesn't work, mm-hmm. you're going to need to call someone on your staff to snake it. Seriously.
My staff. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to have my drain snaked?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm not going to do it.
I always feel dirty when I have to make that call and ask to have my drain snaked. Okay.
Is it a 900 number?
Because sometimes they ask you how long a snake they need. And that's, I'm like.
Yeah. Poopy peepy caca.
Exactly. That's what I say. That's what I say. Okay.
You're both in your 40s and you're making jokes like that.
I'm not.
Actually, Jim's making fun of me making jokes like that.
Okay.
If you caught the mockery in his voice, the scorn. Okay. By the way, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, who we just had on, mm-hmm. He has a great piece on the Huffington Post. If you want to hear some of the fun facts of what it's like to be a congressman debating Republicans on health care, he writes, "Today I literally watched Republicans become unhinged as they attempted to outdo one another on the evils of programs being considered by President Obama and Democrats in Congress. I listened as people theoretically speaking from the same talking points variously claimed that 4, 5, 6, and even 7 million jobs would be lost as a result of the health care plan." A colleague from Oregon claimed that 114 million Americans would lose their health insurance, that Democrats want to socialize 20% of the economy. Inasmuch as health care currently is only 16% of the economy, this would be quite a trick.
Yeah.
It's increasingly become more and more surreal. The Democratic plan would leave Americans with no choice but to go to emergency rooms? Question mark. Don't they remember George Bush suggesting that's why we had universal health coverage now?
Yeah.
Representative Tom Akin suggested that there would be a 50% chance that he'd be dead if he lived in Great Britain. McClintock from California questioned how the same government that operates FEMA could possibly be efficient. I'm shocked any Republican would bring up FEMA and the disaster of the Bush administration for an agency that, until the Republicans got a hold of it, was
Works
doing a great
well.
Job in the Clinton
mm-hmm.
years. Representative Braun from Georgia demanded to see the bill. Show us the bill. Don't hide the bill. At exactly the same time, his colleagues were waving the bill and misreading what was in it. Representative Buck McKeon, his name is Buck.
Buck?
Admonished people to read the bill. And then specifically cited Section 1233. That's the one they were lying about, Blumenauer's thing. And then, of course, he ends with the representative Virginia Fox saying that the Republican approach would not put seniors in the position of being put to death by their government. Those are the bunch of morons Congressman Blumenauer and others have to debate in Congress. All right. Once again, everybody, one set of facts, then we can all have an opinion on what those... But there is not two sets of facts, you see.
Yes.
All right. Ursula in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ursula.
Hey.
How you doing?
It's really hot outside.
It's hot, hot, hot. I understand. All right.
Hot, hot, hot.
Okay.
I think it's global warming, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's. Are you just called to tell me it's hot there?
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
Speaking of that.
Is it hot where you are?
Speaking of that, I just got an email from someone who will be running audio at the Seattle Town Hall event.
Yes.
And he said that this event is not being held in the same venue as it was last year or the year before.
Oh.
It's going to be held in a newly built green facility with air conditioning.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
At the Showair Center in Kent.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Because trust me, you do not want to make Mike Malloy mad. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the potty. Jennifer Palmieri, Senior VP for Communications at the Center for American Progress, next hour to talk about healthcare, the economy, and it's beer day. Beer day at the White House.
Beer.
Yummy.
And actually, none of the beers are American made.
Go figure.
Yeah, apparently Blue Moon is made by a South African outfit.
Oh, no. This hour
South
of the
Africa, formerly of apartheid? Coincidence? Huh? I think not.
Jim just trying to inflame things further.
Yeah,
okay,
thanks,
this
Jim.
Hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit gmddealer.com. Take delivery by 7:31 09 C dealer for details. Woohoo! All right.
Oh, someone in St. Paul suggested that they should have Summit beer, which is made by a brewery in St. Paul.
Oh. How appropriate.
Yeah, for the Beer Summit.
All right, too late. The orders are in. Red Stripe for the professor, yep. Bud Light for the president, and Blue Moon for the police detective.
Yes.
It's a sitcom, everybody. Okay. The president, the cop, and the professor. Ding dong. All right, the president having to explain again about health care.
If you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you keep your health care plan. These folks need to stop scaring everybody.
All right. The president getting a skosh bit annoyed on the health care front. Representative Mike Ross, who is a blue dog. On the agreement?
What?
They made yesterday.
It protects small businesses, and it saves our rural hospitals and ensures that if there is a public option, it will be just that. It will be an option providing consumers more choices. It will not be mandated on anyone, and it now will clearly be on a level playing field.
It's watered down is what he's saying,
yeah.
Which is
watered down and only benefiting the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. So it's not done yet. This fight ain't over. We've got August to go all up in their grill, as they say.
Yeah, but it is discouraging to find out that most people, who are calling their representatives.
We don't know that. You don't know that. That's one caller said this morning that she heard that they're against the public option. But polls are not bearing that out. The problem with the polls are it's showing the president's losing ground on it. But then when you explain exactly what his plan is, people are like, oh, yes, I'm for that. No. All right.
We're doing what we can.
It's because they're listening to people like Sean Hannity. You know,
I do think they left one opening here, and that is that if they're going to let the members go home, we saw what happened to Kathleen Sebelius and Claire McCaskill and Congressman Carnahan. They were excoriated at these town hall meetings. So this seems to be the one opening that perhaps they didn't count on, which is when these congressmen and senators go back to their districts, do you think they're prepared for what the public is about to give them?
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because what the public's going to give them, according to the polls, is they want a public option. They want, essentially, when they explain the president's poll, you know, the main, the president's plan, the main pillars of it, people are like, oh, yes.
Computer says yes.
And then the other question in this new poll, do you like the president's plan?
Computer says no.
But the thing we just explained to you, that's what I'm saying. They're listening to Sean Hannity's lies about it. It's Sean Hannity's version of the president's plan.
God, people are dumb.
Oy vey.
Well, no, people aren't dumb. They're just busy, and so they can't listen intently to every single word that is said.
Well, listen up, America.
Well,
it's important.
Right.
Pay attention. You marinate in all this information all day, so you know what's what. You know,
that's not all I'm marinating in.
Well, no. Okay. But people out there, you know, only have time to listen to these things casually, and so they only hear who's loudest.
And Fox, of course, is on basic cable.
Right.
And they listen to right-wing tools like you on the radio that say the police are always right in every situation, and they would never, ever lie.
When have I said that? I want you to produce the tape for
I'm
when I
saying,
said
I'm just saying, you automatically in the Crowley and Gates incident think that, you know, that the policeman was right. And
no, I don't, Stephanie. Well, I said we
don't
didn't.
Yell.
I
don't
said,
yell.
I said we did not know all of the information.
Yeah.
Do not make me out to be
the
a
police,
racist.
But
I'll get real angry at you.
The police report was incorrect, is my point. The police report was incorrect, was it not?
Police do make mistakes.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't
That's all
mean
I'm saying.
Crowley was a racist.
This woman that called
Doesn't
in did
mean
not
I
say
was a racist.
It was two black men, and she did not talk to him at the scene, and that's exactly what Crowley said in the police report. Her name is Lucia Whalen.
I was called racist, and I was a target of scorn and ridicule because of the things I never said.
I know exactly how she feels.
You're both a little overwrought this morning.
Well,
all right.
You know what? When you're called racist, it does.
I didn't call you racist. I'm not calling you racist. I'm saying
you didn't see the hundreds of emails I got that said I was racist.
Well, I never said that. All right.
You just encouraged people to say
that. Yeah, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. You most certainly
did.
I did
not. All right. Listen, I'm the one that should be overwrought this morning, and you know why? Because I have critter trouble. Mama, did I tell you this? A raccoon got in my house the other last week to eat my dog food. So. You guys, could you listen to me? Because I'm talking right now instead of talking to me. Hi. Okay. There is a killer chipmunk on the loose in Britain. A killer chipmunk has terrorized a family by invading their kitchen and munching on their crunchy nut cornflakes.
They'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's what they like. Horrified trucker Brian Foreman found the critter with its head in the cereal box. Oh, that's... that is not a good morning. He and his wife, Susan, fear the rodent is one of the vicious Siberian chipmunks, which the Sun last week warned were set to invade Britain.
Ah, they wear little fuzzy hats with red stars on them?
And they're coming for your crunchy honey nut, whatever.
Clusters.
Yeah, exactly. My point.
And borscht. They
so someone has worse critter trouble than I do. All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Jerry Hall says it would be a luxury to find a faithful man. The former model whose 9-year marriage to Rolling Stones rocker Sir Mick Jagger ended in 1999 when she discovered he had fathered a child with another woman. That is
again
a romance killer there. She would consider tying the knot again if she found a different type of man. She said, Jerry said she was always aware other women found Mick attractive. Oh, please, if he wasn't a rock star, he's done knots, for God's sakes. But she expected him to grow up when they married and had children. We have some of Mick's thoughts on this, I believe.
Oh, come on, Jerry. So I fathered a child with another woman while we were married. These things happen. I mean, you're talking to the bloke that wrote, I can't get no satisfaction. I mean, what do you think the song was about? I thought I pretty well spelled it out. I can't get no satisfaction, but I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. That was 45 years ago, and I'm still trying. Cool blimey, if all the birds I shagged in the 60s and 70s came forward and demanded money for the bastard children I sired, I'd be on the bloody dole. And that's not even counting the last 3 decades. I mean, if I wrote some ghastly ballad about domestic tranquility, dropping off the kids at school, smoking a bloody pipe, walking bleeding dog, they'd throw me out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I might as well lop off my bollocks, fry them up and cover them with pasta and tomato sauce. Don't get any funny ideas, all right? You can't catch me. No, you can't catch me. Because if you get too close, you know I'm gone like a cool breeze.
Hi, Mick. All right, and finally, L.A. Sperm Bank offers celebrity look-alike donors. You can get everything out here in Los Angeles. Want to have a baby that looks like your favorite celebrity? It's just a whole lot easier to design your future baby thanks to a Los Angeles sperm bank. California's Cryobank, am I saying that right?
Cryobank?
Cryobank?
Mm-hmm.
Announced Tuesday that it has started posting photos of celebrities who resemble their donors to give prospective clients a better idea of what their potential offspring might look like. I've heard the ads, I believe.
Ladies, how often does this happen to you? You want to breed at the top of the gene pool and make the beast with two backs for the likes of Brad Pitt, George Clooney, or Hugh Jackman, but you're stuck with your Morlock Neanderthal mutant schlub of a husband? Do you dream of having beautiful, perfect children who bear a strong resemblance to certain famous hunks every time? Well, now you can! Call Celebrity Turkey Basters today! We hand-select all our studs for their vague resemblance to certain hunky celebrities. In dim light, if you stand on your head and squint. And then we have the Swedish Bikini Team hand extract the baby batter into your own personal baster. We pack it in dry ice and overnight it directly to you, and bingo! Your own personal Nazi eugenics experiment is on its way to the baby factory. Your results may vary. Some settling may occur during shipping and handling. Not available in all states. Not responsible for residual Jack Nicholson DNA, which may result in man boobs and a hairy shoulder blades.
Ooh. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward overall.
And my residual DNA might be lurking in someone's turkey baster.
If you'd like more Jim Ward overall.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True.
Yeah.
Kyle at StephanieMiller.com.
Uh-huh.
Buy the album.
Wowee! Speaking of Jack Nicholson man boobs, look at the, what a rack on him. There's a
he's bigger than you.
There's a vacation. Yeah, I want what size is that, Jack? 36D. I want the truth.
You want answers?
I do.
I think I'm entitled.
You
what
want a nice rack.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That is nice.
Yes, and I'm still bagging hot chicks 24/7.
Wind in the hair, lead in the pencil.
Wind in the hair, lead in the pencil.
Whatever.
Right, thank you.
With
all
a
right.
Little chemical help these days. What is he, like 70?
I don't know. Madonna's daughter, Lourdes, mm-hmm. is not happy with her boy toy, Jesus Luz.
Mm. Jesus.
Jesus Luz. Apparently, the age gap between Lourdes and Luz is way less than the age gap between the model and her mom.
That's interesting.
Madonna's an embarrassing mother? That's hard to believe.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Okay.
Wow, she doesn't sound like that anymore. She really doesn't sound like that anymore.
That was from many years ago. All right. That was from my actual first radio station in New York that I worked at in 1942? It was back. Seriously, did I tell you how I got that? How I got this?
How?
Hi, I'm Madonna.
So that's real.
I used to do mornings on Hot 97 every Monday in New York City.
Yes, you did.
Back in
yes.
1989.
You were just before
there.
The Jack Benny show.
Yes.
But anyway, she used to sleep in the hallway every night to play her records
alley.
For the program director to try to get on the air before she was Madonna.
Right.
And somehow they got that back then. I don't
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Wow.
It's when she was trying to make it. It's when she was just an ambitious little tot.
Hmm. Wow, and so were you.
I was in the Catskills.
Yeah.
All right. So Chelsea Clinton is apparently having a hush-hush wedding, except now it's not hush-hush because it's been on...
Stephanie Miller.
And in the National Enquirer.
Yes.
The paper.
They're saying it'll be in Martha's Vineyard in August, but here's the fun fact.
What?
This one source believes the wedding is going to take place at the Martha's Vineyard mansion of Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen, whom I know. I bonded with them at that Hillary event. Maybe I'll get invited.
Computer says no.
Probably
that's right.
Not.
And I was on Becker a couple times with Ted Danson. So maybe I'll get invited,
too. I think you and I could wangle an invitation
yeah, right.
to that.
Oh, that's right. You went to a Hillary event when you were an Obama guy. Girl.
Girl. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was not warmly received in some quarters.
No, you were not.
Get that but now
bitch
we're all,
out of here.
But now we're all friends. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest. We will break down these poll numbers on the president and the health care plan as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Sam in Providence, Rhode Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Beer Day. Hello, Sam.
Hey there. I know exactly why they chose those three beers for the summit.
Why is that?
Well, it's a political photo op. You got to have something that's red, light, and blue.
Ha! That's a...
Yeah.
Okay. President Obama has lost ground on the health care issue with the American public, according to the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. This is, tell me if this doesn't infuriate you when you get to the specifics of this. Because, you know, we've obviously had a solid wall of lies out there from the right wing, from, you know, some of these, even Democrats that are, I mean, this compromise with the Blue Dogs, it's just watered down dreck, in my opinion. Anyway, pluralities now say the president's health care plan is a bad idea and it will result in the quality of their care getting worse. 40% approve of his handling on the issue. The poll also finds Obama's overall job rating has dropped to 53% in this poll. The good news for Obama is that he remains the most popular politician in the country, and Democrats continue to lead Republicans in the handling of several key issues. So 42% now say the president's plan is a bad idea, which is a 10-point increase since last month.
And do they know what the president's plan is?
Yeah, wait. Well, I'll get for that. That's the punchline of this whole thing.
Boy.
39% believe Obama's plan will result in the quality of their health care getting worse. That's a 15-point jump since April. But the poll also reveals a clear split between those who have private insurance and those who don't. Americans who have private health insurance disapprove of Obama's job on health care by 51-38. Those who lack insurance approve of his of handling 52% to 29%. Also, when read the specifics of his goal for health care, like requiring insurers to cover those with pre-existing conditions, providing low-income families with subsidies to help them afford insurance, and raising taxes on the wealthy to pay for the subsidies, 56% say they support Obama's plan.
So it helps if you know what you're talking about.
So if you know what you're talking about, you're for the president's plan. But if you're believing this right-wing wall of lies, you're like, no, I don't.
Computer says no.
I don't want his plan. Oh, it's that? Okay, now I do.
Computer says yes.
Yeah.
The Democratic pollster who did the poll thinks the Obama White House might see that finding as a silver lining in the survey. According to him, it means if I can get my message out, I am going to be there. So, you know, again, this month is going to be critical, I think. The public also has concerns about the stimulus. In the poll, 43% they believe the legislation was a bad idea, up 16 points since January. Again, you know,
but
this
right wing is improving. It's working.
I know. And again, it's this right wing wall of lies. And you know, he's been in office less than 6 months, and the fact that they've been able to, you know, cast this as a failure when we haven't even spent most of it yet.
Because people who just get basic cable watch Fox.
Still, the Democratic Party maintains its advantages over the GOP on health care, energy, getting the country out of recession, and the economy. So, and the other good news is Sarah Palin, a whopping 67% of Americans, 43% of Republicans say they would not like her to be president.
Yeah.
So some people are paying attention to this. We can all agree that she's a dope. At least there's that silver lining. All right. Tommy in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
You know, I know that we're talking about how, you know, many people were going to lose their health care, or how many people were going to, you know, get sick and even die during the August break while they're on break. But this isn't even going to kick in for 3 years. That's very upsetting to me. I don't understand. Why is it taking so long, even after they get it passed, to get it enacted? Is that another Republican watered-down tactic to say that it, you know, to prove that Obama's presidency is a failure?
Well, no, and that's the thing. You're right, Tommy. Like, make up your mind. They're fear-mongering that the entire, you know, healthcare system will collapse immediately if we enact the president's plan.
Well,
and then,
not
yeah.
only that, but it's just, you know, I mean, people need it now. I don't understand why it's taking why it's not even going to kick in for 3 years. Why don't they make it, you know, within 9 months?
Something that huge is going to take a little more than 9 months to set up
and
operate properly.
Year.
Right. But, you know, the president also points out, again, it's just this fear-mongering about we can't afford it. It's like it will literally be in the trillions, not billions, if we don't do something about it. Because, like you said, Chris, it does take time to get all this enacted. All right. 28 minutes after the hour, Representative Robert Andrews, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey, next to update us on what's happening in the House on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is humiliating.
Hey, it's show business, baby. You gotta start somewhere.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. So Democrats broke a logjam in President Obama's drive to revamp health care when a group of the Blue Dogs accepted a compromise that allowed an overhaul bill to advance in the House of Representatives. Not sure if that's good news or bad news. If only there was someone in the middle of the fray that could... Why? Who is it, Jim?
Oh, from the great state of New Jersey, it's Representative Robert Andrews.
Why, what are the chances?
Huh.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, I saw you quoted in an article saying that you've met seniors who think their Medicare will be taken away. I mean, it is amazing that this debate has become having to combat right-wing lies to some degree, hasn't it?
I'd be amazed if it didn't. You know, the reality here is that there are people making billions of dollars every year in the healthcare system for not delivering healthcare, for holding it back from people, and they're on the run. They're at risk. So their tactics are to lie to people and scare them. And look, the more that gets out there about what's really in this bill, the better we will do, and we will pass this and fix this country's problem.
Well, I hope so. You know, as you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are getting really just frustrated, disappointed. You know, pick a word. But, you know, I think I saw you with the president the other day. An old woman stood up and, you know, I mean, this is the problem, is they don't know what to believe. They're like, oh, I hear this. I hear Virginia Fox says you're going to put me to death. You know?
Interesting. Mean, yeah, she has a lot of credibility. You know what? What you need to do, and what we're doing on this, is I go everywhere I can, answer every question I can about the facts. And let's talk about this death fact for a minute. One of the right-wing fantasies here is that there's something in this bill that says that seniors can be denied health care at the end of their life if it's too expensive. That is utterly, absolutely false. Mm-hmm. Here's what's in the bill. There's a provision that says that when a person is healthy, if they want to talk to their doctor about what's called an advance directive, a living will, where one of the provisions would be if they wanted to, if their life was, you know, if they had a terminal illness and they'd rather be in hospice care than in an ICU, that they have, A, they have the right to make that decision or the right not to make that decision.
Yeah.
And B, the doctor can get paid for the consultation so they can talk the issue through with someone they trust. Now, what's so bad about that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure these polls, you know, we've been talking about this morning are frustrating you like they are us. I'm looking at a New York Times CBS poll now showing 69% of Americans are concerned their care would suffer if there were a government-run plan. Mm-hmm. But 49% say they back fundamental changes. 66% fear losing their insurance if the government does not act. So people are all over the place on this. And you know, again, like the president said the other day, this woman stood up and said, you know, or wrote to him, right, and said, you know, I don't want government run. I don't want socialized medicine government run, and keep your hands off my Medicare, which, of course, is government run. I think that's the one thing the right has seemed to do such a good job on for some reason, haven't they, is scaring people about.
They have done a good job. They're very good at that. That's kind of what they exist to do, evidently. But look, no one ever thought this would be easy. We've always known the president was willing to invest a big piece of his political capital in getting this done. We've always known that when he did, he'd take a bit of a hit, and he has. But this is somebody who's willing to take a risk to get something done to change this country. And I don't care whether it's the civil rights laws of the 60s or the New Deal laws of the 30s or the EPA laws of the 70s, anything that was worth doing was hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this. And I am so thankful that we have a president who is willing to put his political capital on the line to get this done for the country, and we're going to.
Well, you know, and I was saying the other big poll everybody's talking about, of course, the NBC poll, which, you know, when people explain the specifics of the plan, people go, oh, yes, I'm for that, and yet they're against the president's plan, which is exactly that plan.
Yeah, well, it's our job to correct that disconnect and to get on shows and tell the truth. I was on a Fox Business News interview last night, which is not exactly friendly territory.
I'm sorry. I was just, I'm sorry. My
apologies.
We all
have to do what we have to do in life.
Yeah.
I'm getting my Purple Heart today at noon. I say that facetiously, not in any disrespect to real Purple Heart recipients.
Absolutely.
But the guy asked me if I thought that health care was a right, and I shocked him, and I said, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't think in this country.
Yeah.
Everybody has the right to affordable health care. I think if your child has a very sore throat, you should be able to take her to a pediatrician. If that's regarded as shaking the foundations of America, so be it.
Yeah, it would seem to me the pursuit of life is the first thing in the life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah, life does have something to do with avoiding infection and disease.
Yeah, before you can get to liberty and happiness.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Congressman, explain to us, you know, like I say, we all these different committees have bills, and, you know, so you, that's the thing. And then people hear one thing. And part of these polls, I think people are reacting to a lot of this mess, you know, that it's not necessarily the president's plan. It's they hear one thing here and one thing there. Tell us, you know, because it seems like progress, but is it really this, you know, whatever happened with the Blue Dogs yesterday?
Yeah, it's progress in this respect. That to get this done, the House has to take a vote and the Senate has to take a vote. And under our rules, to get to the floor, you have to get through committees. And it looks like we're going to get through Henry Waxman's Energy and Commerce Committee. He's done a great job getting this done. I give him tremendous credit. And it looks like we're going to get through Mr. Baucus's Finance Committee. And all these plans have a couple things in common. Number one, they're going to force insurance companies to compete for your business. Number two, they're going to get rid of this pre-existing condition power that insurance companies have where they can refuse to sell you a policy because you had breast cancer. They're going to ban insurance companies from ceasing to insure you because you had the audacity to get sick. They're going to tell insurance companies that you can't run out of coverage if you're the person who has a malignancy or a bad car accident. And the other thing they have in common is they cover just about everybody in the United States with health insurance. And they find little different ways of getting there, but they all get to the same place. Some compendium of these bills will wind up on the president's desk in October, and he's going to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do something that should have been done a long time ago in this country.
Well, you know, I know Dick Durbin, obviously over in the Senate, said the lack of a public insurance option in the Senate finance bill was not obviously what he and many other Democrats want, but he's encouraging senators to stay patient.
I agree with Dick Durbin. Mm-hmm. Read the history of the civil rights laws. Read the history of Medicare and Social Security. What started out isn't what we ended up with, but I'm glad we ended up with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And we did so because people were patient and they dealt with arbitrary and foolish and egotistical politicians, and welcome to America.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm impatient because somebody listening to this program today can't take their kid to the pediatrician or go see an OBGYN. I'm very impatient about that. But I'm not going to throw in the towel and say, oh, well, we can't do this the way 60 years of other people have done, because we've hit a couple bumps in the road.
Mm-hmm.
We will overcome these bumps and get this done.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what I was saying, that one of the Blue Dogs yesterday said it's because of the Blue Dog Coalition that there's no floor vote before the August break. It's like, well, tell that to the hundreds, you know, the thousands of people who are going to lose their insurance in August.
I think there should have been a vote before the August break, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
The fact that we can't have that doesn't mean we should say, oh, well, we can't do this, because that's what people said so many times. You know, today is the, forget what anniversary of Medicare. It's the day of the 54th anniversary or something like that. Harry Truman, in his farewell address to the Congress, insisted that we should pass a national health program 61 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And every president since then, one way or another, has tried to address that problem and not gotten it done. I would be shocked if this were a popular proposal. I would be shocked if the president didn't take a hit after proposing something this bold and necessary, because there are people who are making themselves very wealthy off of this present system, and they're going to fight any change in it. Well, guess what? We're going to fight them. And we're going to take the facts to the American people, and we're going to defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
And this plan's going to get done.
And, you know, I think, Congressman, the thing people listening have to remember is these bills can change. You know, then what we need to do is use this August to speak loudly and often to our representatives and say we want a meaningful public option. We want an employer mandate. We want, you know, I mean, those sort of things do have an effect, don't they?
They absolutely do, because what tends to happen here, this is true in American politics always, angry people speak up, and people who are interested but not angry tend not to. They're busy paying their mortgage and raising their kids and getting their car fixed and living life. And so what happens here, that angry people are calling us and saying they don't want their grandmother to be put to death, and they don't want to be forced into socialized medicine, and they don't want the small business to be ruined, and they don't want their taxes raised, never mind the fact that they're not in the 99.5% of people whose taxes wouldn't be raised. But they're all saying this. We need people like your listeners to say to their representatives, look, I like this plan. I don't love it. I don't like everything about it, but I like it. Vote for it.
Right.
Don't let the naysayers and the negative forces and the, you know, the birthers. I mean, these are the same people think the president was born on another planet.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they have not a whole lot of credibility.
Yeah, exactly. People that think the president is a Klingon are automatically not allowed to talk about health care.
I would think so. The force be with you, right?
Yes.
All right. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time for us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I'd like to do it again.
I would love to have you. All right. There he goes. Robert Andrews. Democrat of the great state of New Jersey.
That's right.
We take from that is we need more angry people.
Yes.
But they need to be angry about the right things.
Exactly.
And be informed.
Get the facts and then get mad as hell.
The president's from Neptune! Then he's going to take away our souls!
I want you to get up right now and go to the window.
With facts.
Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Okay.
Well, we need more than just the mad people to call. We need we need everybody to call and let your congresspeople know, you know, what you want in healthcare.
43 minutes after the hour, so the right is so giddy that healthcare reform is causing a fracture in the Democratic Party. We'll tell you who said what next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Peter Madison on health care. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I wanted to offer a suggestion about how Obama could use the August break to gain ground and aggressively confront the walls of lies about health care.
Okay.
By focusing the debate on American people instead of policy.
Mm-hmm.
He could go back to his bag of tricks that he used during the election campaign by putting together a 30-minute television ad that foregrounds Americans who have been affected by health care so that the viewers can make the connections between policy and people themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it's it must be exhausting for him. I mean, it just literally it becomes just having to combat one scared person after another at a town hall that bought some right-wing lie, you know?
Yeah. Well, also, an idea like that, that would be really, really expensive. You know, he had a lot of money during the campaign because a lot of people were donating to him. He doesn't have that kind of money now. It would be the taxpayers' money. So I don't know that he would be able to do something like that.
The president yesterday.
They will have all of August to review the various legislative proposals. When we come back in September, I will be available to answer any question that members of Congress have. If they want to come over to the White House and go over line by line what's going on, I will be happy to do that.
What was? Did you see him in the supermarket? What was with
in the Kroger?
What did that old lady ask him? It was just, "Are you going to kill me?" It was something.
Yeah.
Something just.
You're
like,
going to kill me because I'm old. I saw it on Fox News. It must be true.
Nothing burns me up more than hearing some of these scare tactics directed at seniors. You know, because seniors, they're vulnerable and they get worried about some of this stuff and they get some, you know, crazy flyer in the mail and, you know, they get scared that they might lose their care. So let me just be absolutely clear. Medicare is in place and as long as I'm there and even long after I'm gone, Medicare will continue to be in place. We're not gonna mess with Medicare.
But Rush Limbaugh said that I was going to have to pay for the drugs that will be used to euthanize me. Yes. Is that true? And isn't it what you do in Kenya? Put us on ice floes and send us out to sea to be eaten by polar bears?
Oh, bless her heart.
Well, we've got to overcome the understandable skepticism that somehow Washington can never get anything right. I mean, that's the biggest challenge we have right now.
Yeah.
But Rush Limbaugh said you'll push me into a black hole where I'll be crushed to the size of a micron. Because I'm old.
Sean Hannity said that your Kenyan sleeper cell, it was your plan to take out Medicare when you were in kindergarten.
Okay, let's go.
And the Klan says you're a racist.
Jerry in Los Angeles. And Glenn Beck, you made Glenn Beck cry. Okay, Jerry in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Hey, can I be the official African-American of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Well, I think President Obama is, but okay. You can be our replacement.
Okay, never mind. I wanted to weigh in on the discussion between Chris and Jim about, with respect to health care, whether we're stupid or, what do you say, confused?
Are we stupid or are we confused?
Well, I hate to admit this, but I'm leaning more towards Jim. I mean, how stupid can we be? What, from the same people that brought us the birther thing?
Right.
Now old people are going to get euthanized?
I know. I mean, really, even if you're the biggest anti-Obama person, do you really think that's his plan? I mean, seriously?
But worse than that, Steph, worse than that, they're saying, and as a African-American, I can say, from an informed basis, people are crazy. How could he have some vendetta against white people? His family.
Yeah,
I know.
His mother.
I know.
Raised by white.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
We're stupid.
Exactly.
Well, I think I blame reality TV. I think it's just a plot to dumb people down.
I love reality TV.
You cannot watch
head.
Too many celebrities eat too many bugs.
Someone ate an eyeball.
I love reality TV. You think I'm dumb?
Bah.
No, I think TV is just this big IQ extraction machine.
Yeah.
Keep people just dumb enough to buy Fox News BS.
Look, Vanilla Ice ate a lizard.
You're saying that people who watch, like, Top Chef don't watch the news, and I think they're not mutually exclusive.
All right.
Earl in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Earl.
How you doing?
Good.
You know something, this is... I try not to call, but every now and then, because I get so upset. But this is killing me. I have been saying this. I've said this on your show before. 15% of the population in this country are ignorant. So you can't explain health care to somebody who's got two teeth in his head and don't care. You can't explain that to them. What the Republicans do? They use the press. They play the press like fiddles. I mean, they have these nut jobs come on and say these lies, and then they put them on TV, and then the Democrats, we have to respond to that. And in the meanwhile, the Republican governors are screwing over the stimulus money. You're not getting anything done with the unions. You're not getting gay rights done. You're not talking about the important things on health care. All we get a chance to do is repudiate what these nut jobs are saying.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
And because people, 15% of them are ignorant, they don't care. I mean, you tell the same lie enough, as the old saying, you tell the same lie enough times that you will find some idiot who will believe it.
Yep, absolutely. But that's not important now, Jim, because Spencer and Heidi put their hand in a bag of snakes. Okay, Steny Hoyer.
I don't watch that kind of reality TV.
Representative Steny Hoyer yesterday.
The probability is we won't have a bill on the floor until next month. Excuse me. It's still July, September.
Yeah, because of the blue dogs. One of them, we played her the other day, Representative Stephanie Sandlin of South Dakota.
Yes.
She said she believes the Blue Dogs have scored a major victory by getting leaders to back away from having the House vote on health care before they go home. She said it's because of the Blue Dog Coalition that there's no floor vote before the August break.
Well, she does have a point there.
Yeah.
But we saw it coming from miles away. It's not because of the... She's dumb.
Well, I'm sure she'll send a condolence card to each and every...
Person
of the thousands
and,
that
and they lose their health
insurance and die in August.
A few of her constituents are going to die and then not vote for her. She did that herself.
Her fellow blue dog, Representative Mike Ross, yesterday.
This is one of five bills. This is a long process. We're a long way from a finished product.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope so, and let's hope that we end up taking out all the things that you want. So the Energy and Commerce Committee will resume its markup of the health care legislation under a deal between the Blue Dogs and House leaders, delaying a vote until after August, the key demand of the Blue Dogs. Along with reducing the cost of the bill, that's fine, and allowing states to create health co-ops.
Computer says no.
That's not fine. Mike Ross said we cut the cost of the bill, delayed a floor vote, and ensured that the public option will not be forced on anybody. The problem is, you know, if you weaken the public option and water it down to such an extent that it's not a real public option, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The point is to make the insurance companies rich.
Mm-hmm. With the agreement, the bill was to move through that committee by Friday, even if House leaders later change it, which is what we can hope for, before the full House votes in September. Democratic Representative Elliot Engel, whom we know.
Yes, we do.
Said House leaders had left liberals on the panel with little choice but to vote for it as it stands or stall its progress. In a way, a number of us feel like we've been held hostage, Engel said. While the bill still includes a government-run insurance program, liberals say the requirement that Washington negotiate prices with doctors and hospitals, putting the public plan on the same footing as private insurers, would make coverage unaffordable for many. The compromise would exempt 86% of small businesses from being required to contribute to a health insurance for their workers. It would also allow states to set up these co-ops. Bad idea.
Computer says no.
All right, we will talk to Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress. I got it right!
Barely.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Ed Show today on MSNBC, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
You're going to be on Ed?
I'm sure Mrs. Ed will won't like
the
that.
Show. The show, not the person. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit gmddealer.com. Take delivery by 7:31. 09 C Dealer for details. All right. The healthcare debate, of course, continues. Senator Max Baucus talking about his bill in the Senate.
The current draft of the bill scores below $900 billion over 10 years, covers 95% of all Americans by 2015, and is fully offset.
Okay, that's the good news. The bad news is it might be a watered-down piece of dreck.
Hmm. Yeah.
It might be a healthcare-like substance that is not actual healthcare reform.
That only benefits the insurance companies and not the American people.
Coincidentally, gets a lot of money.
Huh.
Okay, Fred Barnes continuing the right-wing lies on healthcare on the Brit Burr.
Obamacare will make their care more expensive, their taxes will go up, and the care will be worse.
Mm-hmm. And space aliens will eat your grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're in the top 1%, your taxes. Okay, and your health care will be better. That's not important now. Okay, the president having to combat the lies about the stimulus, mm-hmm. which we've spent, 10% of yet? And it was designed to work over 2 years, not, 2 months.
And it's beginning
to working.
Work.
The economy's getting
there's
better.
There's that. I didn't get to that yet.
So it will take time to achieve a complete recovery. We're not going to rest until anyone who's looking for work can find a job. But there should be little debate that the steps we took, taken together, have helped stop our economic freefall.
All right. And as we all know, it is beer day in the president, the cop, and the professor, the wacky new sitcom that all of America loves. Lucia Whalen, by the way, she was the 911 caller. Just FYI, the police report was incorrect. She never said that there were two black men. She never identified their race. And she didn't talk to Sergeant Crowley at the scene, as he said in his police report.
I would hope that people would learn not to judge others and to really base it on facts prior to scrutinizing someone, especially so damaging.
Yes, Stephanie.
I would hope that.
Yeah, Chris.
Yes, Stephanie.
All right. Oh, shut up. It's beer day.
It's the malted liquor. What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of
beer.
It. How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Yes.
Beer. I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Mmm. If only there was somebody really fun that could join the whole party. Yeah. Who is it, Jim?
It's the senior VP for communications at the Center for American Progress, Jennifer Palmieri.
She's one of our personal favorites.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you on this lovely beer day?
I found that whole lead-in enormously amusing.
Good. let's have a red stripe and call it a morning.
A red stripe. Yeah. I do like the Blue Moon, I have to say.
You like the Blue Moon beer? I have not tried the Blue Moon.
It's my husband's favorite, and he's the son of a cop. I think it's a big cop thing.
Oh, it's a cop beer.
The blue thing. Okay.
The blue thing.
I'm a Heffenweizen girl myself.
Not anymore. No.
All right. So what do you think will be accomplished at the beer summit today?
A lot of fodder for cable news.
Yeah, a lot of photo ops.
A lot of photo ops. I would like to say that it means that the story ends, but I think that that's not true. I think that it will, I think that, you know, the biggest part of the drama around the story ends, but I think that, I think that there will still be coverage about it, and I think that this sort of, that the discussion that sort of, that's happening, in the country about race will, it will continue. It definitely opened up a new, a new sort of avenue of those kinds of concerns, which might be okay. I don't know, but
well, certainly Glenn Beck tried to calm things yesterday by calling the president a racist.
Right.
We can always count on him to heal the tensions in the country.
It does show that there, you peel back the surface, and these issues are very emotional and raw and there. So I don't think it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
Oh, I know. Listen, it's led to fisticuffs here on the Stephanie Miller Show amongst our own. meanwhile, as the president said last week, no one's talking about health care. What is your take on, I find these new polls enormously frustrating because, you know, they show that support for the president's plan has eroded unless you explain what the president's plan is and then everyone's for it.
Right. It shows, exactly. It shows that people oppose things that are not in the plan and they support what's in the plan.
Yeah.
One concern I have that I actually think that the newspapers would be open to that I shared with some reporters this morning is you all only poll about things that are not in the bill.
Right.
You only ask questions about things that aren't in the bill. And yes, they asked, would you like your pre-existing conditions covered? But do they ask that your out-of-pocket expenses will never be more than $5,000? Do they ask that if you lose your job, you're going to be able to keep your coverage? Do they ask that you're going to have more choices on insurance? No, they don't ask any of those questions. They only ask what the attacks they know to be false are. And then we're all shocked when we get this pullback that shows people don't want government-run health care. Well, who's offering that?
Right. Yes. It's like, are you for the president's plan to euthanize seniors? Shockingly, people said no.
Weirdly, people said no, yeah. Well, and weirdly, people don't want their health care benefits taxed. You know, who can imagine that?
Yeah.
Which also is not in any plan.
No, exactly.
At this point, anyway. But it is not in any, you know, and New York Times asked about that.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, what do we do now? How do you continue to have this debate
hard.
When basically you're just going, well, that's a lie. Okay, that's a lie.
And the thing is, you know, the sort of conventional communications wisdom is don't respond to attacks, right? That means you're on the defense and you're losing your message. But I think that when you look at these polls and you see we're losing on the message war only because people believe things that aren't true about the bill to be true, I think your biggest imperative has to be to knock down the things that they're saying that are false. And I think members of Congress are loath to do that because they get advice from people, you know, communications professionals like me who say, don't respond to the text. Stick to your message about how this is great for the middle class because it's going to mean you have insurance you can count on. You can't lose it. The premiums are going to stay under control, et cetera. But I think you got to, at this point, say, here's what's in the bill. And here is what is not in the bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a communications professional, trust me, it's interesting. I'm having something like this personally, and I know what you mean. Like, be the bigger person, don't respond, and then the other part of you wants to break off a beer bottle and go.
But when you're losing, when that's what you're losing on, it'd be one thing if they were polling and showing that the elements that actually are part of healthcare reform are not popular, then that would be one thing. But I think when you're losing it at this level, that you have to respond. And I know people go, oh, then you're on the defensive. Well, when you're trying to pass something, you got You know, you have two teams, right? You have your offensive team and you have your defensive team. And you need both to win this battle that is so easy to misrepresent
Jen, for good side. What is your prediction, though? I mean, so what's going to happen in August? Are we going to be able to turn this around and get the facts out? Will the president be able to frame his plan is what people know?
I suspect that we will look back at this point and think of this as the low point. I actually think that my friends in the media are very open to the notion that, wow, what the Republicans are saying is not actually true, and there needs to be, you know, I can feel it. You can feel when stories are starting to turn. I feel like that story is starting to turn. And I think that, you know, the president, you know, he's pretty good at communications, and that's what he says, right? He's like, here's what the bill will not do. It is not government-run care. No one is going to tell you what insurance company you have to pick. No one is going to tell you what doctor you have to pick.
As you say, Jenna, you know, and David Axelrod says, this is the legislative process. It's not pretty. It's like making sausage. Right. But we may have Virginia Fox to thank for the moment we jumped the shark. We may have her standing on the floor and saying the president's plan is to put seniors to death.
You have Virginia Hawks. You have Virginia Hawks. You have Inhofe saying stuff like that. You have Voinovich saying the concerns are 50% political. You have them saying that their goal is to kill the bill. I think that, and you do see in these polls, you do see that the Republicans continue to slip in terms of their own standing. So I think that there's a storyline that these guys are sort of cannibalizing themselves, and maybe it makes them feel better because they're succeeding at this point in branding the plan in a bad light, but you know, at a bad cost to them, and ultimately I think it will, you know, I think ultimately it'll turn around. But
okay.
There's a lot of, you know, and then the horrible Tea Party stuff with those
the teabagging, yes.
Yeah, those are your words, Stephanie.
Yes.
but did you see them hang this effigy of Congressman Frank Cradiville from Maryland?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the debate has gotten.
This is why I feel like there were elements where the debate started to turn.
Yeah, exactly. And the moment the old woman in the supermarket stood up and said, I have my birth certificate in a bag, it would seem like as a citizen of Kenya, you wouldn't be allowed to put me to death. It's just when all the right-wing lies collide, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like during the campaign, during the Palin rallies, we saw like some crazy behavior from their supporters.
Yep.
It seems to be the same kind of dynamic.
No. Yep, absolutely. Jen, always enjoy having you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Okay.
All right, there she goes. Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress.
Hey, you got it right.
Wow. No.
Listen, I know my Center for Media Progress that matters to America.
Yes.
Type think tank places.
They are both wonderful organizations that do a great job.
That I sometimes mash together into one fabulous organization. Mike in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Well, I think about this beer summit, I think that the president ought to revise his plan a little, and instead of offering them each a Budweiser, just offer them a Bud.
Ha! I get it. That's a marijuana.
Medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cop would definitely go for that.
Yeah, and then the cop arrests him again.
Yeah. Great.
And the president along with Professor Gates.
Yeah, right. The president getting arrested on the White House grounds. That just, no. No. Uh-uh.
All right. Senator Chuck Schumer on the public option in the health care plan. Senator Chuck Schumer.
Be available to all Americans, be able to bargain with the providers, and be ready to go on day one to compete with the large nationwide insurance companies.
That's the whole debate right now to me. It's like what constitutes a meaningful public option. We will talk about that as we continue. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, Frank in Phoenix on healthcare. Hi, Frank.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike Spence was on this morning from Indiana railing against the public auction. Mm-hmm. But these same hypocrites.
Mike Pence is a tool.
Well, anyway,
I've debated him in person.
Anyway, he if you call your congressman and ask them about their health care, I was hung up on. But they will not discuss it with you. But I understand
really?
It is a golden situation paid for by the government. And I'm sure they must pay something toward it, but I am telling you, it's all right for them to have it.
Yep.
Okay? But the American people can go to hell.
Yep, that's exactly what they're saying. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, two things. The first thing is, you know, when this cop versus professor thing, I think one of the most disturbing things is the way Chris is being jumped on. Honest to Pete, you know, America was formed on, you know, like, I disagree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah, well,
it just
depends on how screechy a way you say it, I think, is what the issue
is. I've read and seen things online that really are attacks on Chris.
I disavow those. Only I'm allowed to attack him.
You've never disavowed those.
I disavow them. Only I'm allowed to attack you.
Hey, Chris,
yes.
The way you grew up and your background, your family thing, if a cop or a policeman told you to do something, what were you expected to do?
Do it.
Was there any question?
No.
Does that make you a bad person?
No.
All right.
Whatever. Okay, let's go to Larry.
Clearly, he hates black people. That's the only
conclusion you can draw from that.
Yeah.
Larry, all right, and I'm allowed to think the cop handled it badly. Larry in New York, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Everybody handled it badly.
I
think it was Goodwill Hunting. It's Harvard Egghead since blue versus blue collar townie.
Mm-hmm.
Larry in New York.
Oh, it was Rush Limbaugh that said we should have the same health care we have for dogs. So he's the voice of the Republican Party.
Yes, you know what? I did hear him say that. I heard him say that. You should just be able to pay, like, cash for whatever you need, like you do for your dog or what?
What?
Okay.
Well, that's easy for him to say. He has all the cash in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's on a $400 million contract.
Yes.
Albeit over several years, but still.
All right. So let's review for those of us. As you said, Chris, I marinate in this information all day.
You certainly do.
Let Mama explain the fun facts to you. Well,
okay.
that and Chardonnay, which helps the information go down.
And maybe a little barbecue sauce.
A little bit.
Okay.
Unlike the health care reform bills coming out of the House and already approved by Senate Health, Education, Labor, the legislation being assembled by the Finance Committee, that's the one that eschews two central Democratic priorities, the creation of a government-run public option and the requirement that most employers provide health benefits. And as Paul Krugman wrote, I mean, you take those two pillars out, and I think the whole thing collapses. Instead of a government-run plan, the Finance Committee group is weighing the establishment of these co-ops, which will not work. I will go on record as saying they haven't worked before. In place of a strict employer mandate on health benefits, the senators are considering a proposal to discourage free rider companies by requiring employees to reimburse the government for the cost on enrolling their workers in Medicaid or providing subsidies for private insurance. Supporters of the employer mandate, which is part of the House and Senate Health Committee measures, believe it is needed to prevent employers from dumping health benefits.
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Representative Jim Matheson, Democrat of Utah. Is that a blue dog?
He is a blue dog.
I'm all about making sure that we answer some of these substantive concerns I have, like the public plan. I'm concerned we have nothing in there right now to try to deal with malpractice reform.
Yeah, you might have a point there.
Mm. Okay.
There does need to be some malpractice reform in there.
Alex Castellanos, the president.
This is the weakness in the Obama administration. They've gone so far left that they've empowered the old Clinton wing, the new Democrats, the blue dogs, who are afraid this president is spending too much, taxing too much, running government too much, and he's going to get a lot of them killed in 2010 in the election. So what are we seeing? Tina Brown saying, where's Bill Clinton? And what we're seeing is that big San Andreas fault in the Democratic Party. New Democrats and Clinton, left-leaning Obama. This is why they fought so hard in the campaign. It's beginning again. We're going to see more of this in 2010.
Oh, his plan is really to euthanize blue dog Democrats.
Yes.
He has to put them to death politically. I see.
Yes, he developed that plan when he was...
As Jim frequently explains, it's not because he's gone too far left.
Right.
He hasn't gone far left enough on health care. That's the problem. All right. 28 minutes after the hour.
You okay?
All right. Yes. Another wall of right-wing lies on health care when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's Stephanie Miller.
You've caused nothing but trouble since you got here.
Mm-hmm. It's my job. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Our buddy, our pal, comedian extraordinaire John Fugelsang, joins us live in studio in all of Hour 3 tomorrow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joyce in Detroit, happy beer day. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment regarding the police officer involved in the Gates case.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to find out, is he going to apologize to the woman that he misrepresented her statement and had this so-called interaction with her that
right.
never occurred? Now, is he going to apologize for that?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying about, saying the police version of events is always the correct one. I mean, that was absolutely incorrect in the police report. She never mentioned race when she called in. She never spoke to him at the scene, so go ahead.
They spoke for a brief time at the scene.
No, they did not.
No, they didn't.
They did not.
She did not. He said, who made the call or whatever, and she said she waved and said she made the call. That was it.
Right.
There was no
they spoke for a brief time. That's
not
what
at the scene. That was incorrect. Yeah. He got it incorrect in the police report, and also she never said there were two black guys. She never identified race. When she was pushed,
never.
She said one of them might be Hispanic. I don't know. Their backs are to me.
And then, so if he misrepresented that, then why are we so confident that everything else was 100% of the truth?
Yep, absolutely. Well, and like I say, I he's the one trained to defuse the situation. He should have said sorry for the misunderstanding. Good night. All you got to do is leave. There's no reason to handcuff a guy, using a cane in his own house. It's already proved it's his own house. End the story. Let's go to Dave in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, two things that make you go hmm that I saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. The first was Katrina Vandehuvel from The Nation magazine was on MSNBC with Eric Cantor, and she was pointing out how the public option would provide competition and lower the prices. Eric Cantor went absolutely ballistic crazy, going, how dare you use the language of free market capitalism? How dare you?
What? Really?
Oh, yeah, it was great. The other thing that makes you go home is this co-op plan.
Yep.
They're saying all this. Well, the co-op is exactly what health insurance was before, not-for-profit, before the HMOs, when Blue Cross and Blue Shield used to be not-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we go with that all the way? Say there's no more for-profit insurance companies.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. By the way, the Blue Dogs, a lot of them said they were not taking a stand as a group on this lady. Even they have splintered at this point. They're not taking a stand. They have to go listen to their constituents back home. So I would speak loudly to your blue dogs if I were you. Republicans, meanwhile, ready to use the August recess to rip the bill apart and attack Democrats. The Boner told reporters on Wednesday he believes Obama should scrap the whole plan and start over again. Here's what I believe.
You are an idiot.
Oh, by the way, here's one disappointment, Chris.
What?
The Boner is not taking the birther bait. Damn it.
Oh, no.
I was hoping he was a birther. He was, when pressed by reporters to whether he had any doubts Obama was born in Hawaii, Boner said no. He said, when asked about the birther issue, he was dismissive of the topic. Oh, come on, Boner. Take the bait. All right. O'Reilly on the president.
President Obama is a classic liberal.
Oh, please.
A man who
if
wants
only.
The federal government to provide as much as possible
if only.
To the poor. Mr. Obama believes in economic and social justice being imposed from Washington. But the vast majority of the folks are against him on that.
Yeah, here's what the folks think. Jim, yet another poll is out that is all of these polls to me are equally infuriating. Because this is the Time Magazine healthcare poll.
Mm-hmm.
The actual plan the president's proposing, people are for.
Right.
But when they ask, are you for the president's plan, they're saying...
Computer says no.
Because they've been told what the president's plan is by jerks like Bill O'Reilly.
Exactly.
And they're wrong.
So listen to this. By significant margin, survey respondents say they believe the final health care reform legislation is likely to raise health care costs in the long run, make everything about health care more complicated, offer less freedom to choose doctors and coverage. All of which is untrue.
Computer says no.
In a separate question, more Americans said it would be better to pass major reform rather than minor adjustments.
Huh.
On the details of the plan, respondents remain supportive of many of the rough outlines of the health reform effort as originally described by President Obama. 63% say they would support providing health care coverage for all Americans, even if the government had to subsidize those who could not afford it. 56% say they support a public health insurance option to compete with private plans. 57% support raising taxes on those with annual incomes over $280,000 to pay for the plan. 80% they said they would support a bill that required insurance companies to offer coverage to anyone who applies, even those with pre-existing medical conditions, which describes the president's plan exactly.
But you're leaving the president's plan. Oh, no, that's crazy. Socialist
says
plan.
No, Sean Hannity,
Sean Hannity
says
told
no.
me so. Oh, God.
Asked who they trust to develop new health care legislation, 47% said Obama, compared with 32% Republicans in Congress. Americans were split evenly, 46% to 46%, when asked if they approved or disapproved of Obama's handling of health care. I mean, it's just, these polls don't make any sense, do they,
right.
Jim? They're just, So, I mean, that's
garbage
all.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we can hope is that, you know, this month the president and lawmakers can, you know, effectively combat this, like I say, virtual wall of right-wing lies from O'Reilly and others.
When you have a president as articulate as he was on the campaign trail and in the debates, he handled himself very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a twofer. He can't tell the nation why government-mandated health care is necessary. He simply cannot do it. He failed again today to do it.
Mm.
And then he gets out and says the police acted stupidly, alienating 95% of American law enforcement officers in a second. It's inconceivable a guy that disciplined would make these mistakes, but he's making them.
Okay. Well, how many times can the president say it that, first of all, it's not a government
plan. Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care. I'm tired of hearing that.
All right. Jim, would you like some Dennis Miller on the...
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, that'll be fine.
Listen, I don't want Biden and Pelosi making calls on plastic surgery, because you look at her. If she was pulled any tighter, she'd be an unopened Braunschweiger tube, and he looks like his head was attacked by a squid in a Jules Verne novel. Now, I have 2,500 plugs. I have 2,500 hair plugs here. You look at them. Now, these were private industry. These are state-of-the-art plugs. You couldn't even tell if I didn't tell you. Then you look at Biden's plugs. Who do you want making the call on your plugs, huh? Biden wouldn't pass for a Ken doll. These are private sector plugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Huh. He has hair plugs.
Well, Dennis Miller wears a rug. There you go. All right. Plugs or
that's
whatever.
What we gleaned from that.
Yes.
Okay, Carl Rove on the Hannity.
The blue dogs, you know, they sound good. They make good noises.
Yeah.
But at least of the seven blue dogs today on the Energy and Commerce Committee, four of them signed on to a bad deal, it sounds like, and three of them said, don't count us in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, at Time Magazine asked the president, because, you know, they're saying he hasn't been involved enough. I think, again, trying not to make the mistakes of the Clinton administration, who wrote it in private and then tried to ram it through Congress. You know, again, it was a good plan, but it's just the way you go about that. This is what's so frustrating is the legislative process. But he said the truth is, actually, I think we provided more guidance than has been advertised. I mean, if you think about how we've moved this forward, we don't simply put out some broad principles. We were fairly specific. We said we need to have insurance reform that's going to include things like preventing insurers from dropping people because of pre-existing conditions. We said we're going to need to expand coverage. That an insurance exchange that would provide people a menu of options was an important mechanism to expand choice and to help deliver to people who didn't have health insurance or were underinsured. We talked about the need for a public option as part of that health care exchange.
Yes.
So, and he did. What is murky about that? Unless you're Bill O'Reilly.
Unless you're trying to murk it up.
Yep. Exactly. All right. The president also had to defend his record on the economy yesterday. We'll tell you what he said as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Charles in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Charles.
Hi.
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mooks. I didn't know you guys were back to me so soon here. Hey, listen, my wife is, got a couple things. My wife is a doctor at the VA in Minneapolis here, and she's been there for 30 years. And one of the differences with why the healthcare is better there and is more affordable is just like the Mayo Clinic, just like Cleveland Clinic, the doctors are paid salaries. They're not encouraged to do procedures that run the money up. And the other thing is that they were in, or my wife was attending to a guy who was in the intensive care unit, and they needed to have him sign a form, and they needed to make sure that he was, you know, aware of where he was and everything. And they asked him, you know, Mr. Johnson, do you know what year it is? And he was a little confused, and he said, 1995. And she said, do you know who the president is? And he popped up, and he said, Barack Obama, and I voted for him.
Ha! So that's the one thing he retained, huh?
Yeah, well, it was worthwhile, too.
Well, you know, and the president has said that if we could have a model like the Cleveland Clinic or a Mayo Clinic or whatever, you know, that would, obviously, you're right, that's what's working.
And whenever anybody says, oh, they come from all overseas here to get our health care, that's where they're going, that's the way it's working. They're paid by a salary, and their whole intent is to do a good job on the patient, not necessarily make a lot of money.
You know, and his story, by the way, about his grandmother, the right, of course, has, you know, used to misconstrue and all of that. I mean, he was talking about that she was with Kaiser Permanente and actually had a good plan. I think his point was that she had a very expensive hip operation when she was terminally ill.
Uh-huh.
And he was just talking about, again, the, you know, families should have different choices in those situations and be given the information. That's all he's saying.
Yeah, I just wish everybody could have as good a health care plan as I have, being the spouse of a an employee of the government. And it's great. It's really nice. We're Blue Cross. We pay 80% basically, and get to go where we want to do and go where we want to go and do what we want to do wherever we get their health care. Everybody should have.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Thank you for calling to taunt us with your fancy health care program.
Yeah, the Mayo Clinic and the Cleveland Clinic are just outstanding, stupendous models upon which to build health care reform. So, I wish we could take those into account.
All right. Warren in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Warren.
Hey. Listen, I've got an idea that I haven't heard on the radio, and that is, why don't we have...
Well, if it isn't been on the radio, then it doesn't exist.
I listen to you guys, and you guys are great.
Thank you.
The idea is that let's get the Congressional Budget Office, whom everybody seems to like their numbers, to size the cost of doing nothing.
Trillions.
Put a number out there that says, okay, this is what you're going to spend if you do nothing. That knocks down a lot of the straw men that the Republicans keep putting up.
Yeah.
It says you're going to do nothing, it's going to cost you this much.
Right, right. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. And all of the talking points Republicans are putting out, the fact is they don't have a plan. The one thing that, you know, Ed, all Americans agree on in every poll is our health care system is horribly broken.
Yes.
And we need major reform. You have to understand, the Republicans aren't talking about reforming it.
Nope. They want it status quo.
Yeah.
They want prices to keep going up so their checks from the insurance companies can get even bigger.
And they want their own public health plan.
Michael in Chicago.
You know, Steph, one thing we have to keep in mind is that the reason for Obama's eroding support, apparently, and it's very misleading because he's getting attacked from the left and the right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the left has to face facts, and I'm for single payer. I think single payer is a no-brainer. It would solve all our problems, in my opinion, but it's off the table. So every left-winger, myself included, who supports Obama, we have to get on board on this public plan option. And, you know, we have to give up the dream for a single payer, at least for now, but we have to support our president. Because he's getting attacked from the right. He cannot get kidney punches from the left wing.
Because
we're all going to lose out in the end, and we have to grow up about that, I think.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
Unfortunately, that's the nature of the Democrats, though. They tend to turn on
their own. I want everything now or nothing!
Oh, dear, we've reanimated Kyle from the Democratic primary.
Yes, we have!
If I don't get exactly what I want, I'm voting for...
I'm voting for Ralph Nader!
All right. Jessica,
I'll do it.
Don't make me. Jessica got a little hostage crisis during the primaries.
Yes,
okay,
it did.
Jessica in Caribou, Maine. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Jess.
Okay, this might sound a little complicated. However, we have long established that if you have a group plan and somebody gets sick and uses it, the insurance rate goes up for the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, there was a thing in the paper yesterday about how if you use tanning beds, your rate of skin cancer, your risk of it increases 75%.
Yeah, yes. Who knew? Sealing yourself in a closed container and having ultraviolet rays
zap you
for an hour would have any sort of adverse effect.
All right, so when the boner gets his diagnosis, does that mean his insurance rate's going to go up?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, boner. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a tanning bed user and a smoker.
Yeah, John Boner may need to, thank God he's got that fancy public health care plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he drinks rye.
Owned by the government.
In the tanning bed.
In the tanning bed.
Probably unwise.
He has a drink holder in his tanning bed.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't care if it gets really hot. His rusty nail. Okay. President Obama said during an appearance in North Carolina yesterday, the U.S. may be seeing the beginning of the end of the recession as he gave an impassioned defense of his response so far to the economic crisis. He said he was startled by the Newsweek cover saying the recession is over. He said while government action has stopped the free fall, the country is still shedding jobs and the tough times aren't over. He said there should be little debate that the steps we took helped stop the free fall. That's the thing. Like Jim said, things are getting better.
Yes,
did you really think it was going to be completely better?
We've pulled out of the power dive, but we still have to gain altitude.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
We have stopped the free fall. The market's up, and the financial system is no longer on the verge of collapse. That's true. So there's no doubt that things have gotten better. We may be seeing the beginning of the end of the recession.
Wouldn't that be great? Okay, the president went on to talk about
tightening. We're going to have to tighten our belt, but we can't do it in the middle of the stimulus. We can't do it in the middle, just as the economy is coming out of recession. No economist would recommend that.
Yeah. By the way, he talked about his critics talking about the deficit. He says, you hand me a $1.3 trillion bill and you're complaining 6 months later because we haven't paid it all back.
Yeah.
He said if the health care costs $1 trillion, that's still a lot less than we spent on the war in Iraq.
Yep.
The CBO actually will estimate the Iraq war, by the way, FYI, GTK, will actually probably ultimately cost us $2 trillion.
Yeah.
Healthcare
is a bargoon compared to the Iraq war.
Yeah, Sean Hannity whining.
The American people are nervous. They're worried, and I think rightly so, that this debt that we're accumulating, these deficits we're accumulating, we're stealing from our kids and grandkids.
Huh. What'd you say to that about your kids when your friend George Bush handed them the $1.3 trillion?
Or when your friend George Bush started the Iraq war, which is costing $2
trillion. Yeah.
Which was left off the books.
Which was, by the way, health care in America, necessary.
Yes.
War in Iraq, not so much.
Necessary.
Yeah. Not so much.
And Jim has a good point. The cost of the war in Iraq were left off the books and put into supplementals.
Right.
Obama is putting those numbers right back on the books where they belong.
Why the deficit looks bigger.
Exactly.
Because they're being honest for a change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. The Hispanic vote for Republicans. The Senate debate over Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor turned bitter Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
And Democrats warn that Republicans will pay a steep price for opposing the judge who will be the first Hispanic justice. Majority Leader Harry Reid said, I just think that their voting against this good woman is going to treat them about the same way they got treated as a result of their votes on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
That made Senator John Cornyn mad. Republican
he got
Texas.
Angry?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
No. He shot back that Reid and other Democrats are trying to exploit the nomination and give cover to groups and individuals to nurture racial grievances for political advantage. I don't think it influences people's votes, but what it does is encourage a very poisonous, indeed a very toxic tone of destructive politics. They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
So you're calling all Hispanic people racists. Good move.
Yeah.
That'll work.
The NRA...
Good luck with that.
Has threatened, lawmakers that if they vote for her, they're, they do those annual ratings or whatever.
They'll be hell to pay.
Yes.
Mm.
Since the NRA's threat, no Republican or conservative Democrat has come out publicly to support Sotomayor.
In fact, one GOP senator came out this morning, said that he was going to vote for her.
Hmm.
Yeah, Senator Alexander.
He is going to?
He's going to vote for her. So events have transpired since that story came out.
Yeah.
By the way, here's a fun fact. John Cornyn and Senator Kay Haley Hutchinson, as Tom DeLay would say.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, senator from Texas.
They both say they will oppose her despite representing a state that is 32% Hispanic.
Good
luck to you.
Yeah.
Harry Reid says she will get less votes than John Roberts got. Weird.
Fewer.
Fewer. Pardon me. Yes. Pardon me. My bad.
Stephanie, you and your friend were almost raped.
Yes, I'm sorry. I came from a grammar police parent. My grammar should be better. All right, Larry.
Yeah, why isn't it better?
Larry and Madison, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Steph. Just a quick question. There has been so much, I can't even call it discussion on healthcare. I call it noise with volume. There's been information, disinformation put out. Every special interest group that has any dollar connected to this at all is out there. The voices I have not heard are right to life.
Not sure what that was about. We'll find out tomorrow, I guess. See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.